of God's glory all around us, but yet we're so often trying to chase a dollar that we forget that. Amen? Anybody relate to that? I think so many of us can. The other thing is that but the number one thing that's closely related to priorities is time. How are you investing? How am I investing our time? Because we can say, well, Jeff, I would love to do this. I just don't have the time. Baloney. Adulteresses. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy. Or do you think it is without reason the scripture says that the spirit who lives in us yearns jealously? I can't hardly say that word. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God but resist. The helicopter can't touch them. They wouldn't be scared of it. You are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge. And let me just say, that ain't any of us. Who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen closely on this time thing. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. And it's like, oh, you're at a 10, need you about a 2, right? Drama is simply another way to reveal self-centeredness. For present help, because wherever God is, he's always in the present. But how many of us live somewhere in the future or somewhere in the past, and we never live in the moment that we're actually in? I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about the last 15 years, no. And it's the little things. I don't know about you, but in my walk with God, it's easy to make decisions on the big things, right? It's those little things that nobody pays attention to, that nobody's watching and seeing, that eat me up the most. In Eisenhower, if you've ever studied Eisenhower, somebody asked him one time, he said when he was Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces, he said, how in the world can you send a million people to war? That just seems so huge. He goes, that's not the real struggle. He said, anybody can do that. It's the details that trip you up. And I would say that's a pretty appropriate assessment of our walk with God. It's not the big things. It's the details when no one is watching but God. And that we need to remind ourselves to be kind is to love. Number 7, awareness is self-protection. Awareness is self-protection. Now, I remember growing up working cattle, and my Uncle Donnie was fierce about this. Pull your head out of your can and be looking around. Don't just pay attention to what's in front of you, but have some peripheral. Go to be on mission here, right out that front door. That's it. Awareness is an important factor of serving Christ, to see Jesus. Whenever he went, people were often passing by, but Jesus had a knack for seeing things. Number 8, sinful people are everywhere. That's no new news, but it is sad at how Christians participate in the growing evil of our world without recognition. What did James 4 say? When you become a friend of the world, guess what? You become an enemy to God. Now, does that mean that we should shun people of the world? Absolutely not. That's not what it's saying. But when we become friendly with the world and the world's ideologies, then we become an enemy of God. Because the ways of the world and the ways of God are not going in the same direction. But sadly, humanity's idol is pleasure. What brings us the greatest pleasure is often what we serve, not the one who created us. Amen? And we must be prepared to recognize that it's not just all those people on TV that we disagree with. And it's not that group and that group that have contributed, although those are true. Have we looked in our own hearts to see how we've contributed to the evil of this world? I thought to myself in my time away, Lord, even if you went back on your word, which he never does and he never will, he would be justified. Because out of all the people that has ever lived and ever will live on planet Earth, I have been as big a contributor to the evil in this world as anybody. I may not have gotten the recognition that some people have. But if you know your heart, and as I know and come to know my heart, we've all contributed. And it's easy to point fingers and go, hey, I wish they would get their life together. But are you getting your life together? Are you falling under the authority of Jesus? Amen? History, number nine, history means something. What do they say? If you don't know history, it will repeat itself. Do you know there's nothing new under the sun, says the wisest man, other than Jesus in Ecclesiastes? There's nothing new under the sun. But it's interesting that we don't look at history anymore. We're just so self-absorbed in the modern world, and we think the modern world is so progressive. I listen to the news, and I can't tell you how many times I heard the word progressive. This is the most digressive generation that probably has ever been. We are losing the creative tools of generations before us. As I said in the first service, if someone somewhere unplugged that great electrical cord, how many people even in this room would suffer? Because we don't know how to survive anymore. We don't even have a primal fear of things. We went through Yellowstone a couple of years ago, not this past trip, and it's amazing to see the signs that say, don't get close to wildlife. And do you know how many people were close to wildlife? Now, I don't believe in evolution, but I thought, you know, if that old grizzly bear, after get, he might weed a few of us out. But it's ridiculous. And here's the other thing. Country folk will often blame the city folk, all them people in the city. Guess what? Country folk are raising city folk simply out in the country anymore. That's a fact. And why? It's not about city or country folk. That's not the point. The point is that people close to God's creation can't help but recognize the hand of God. And we are getting further and further from people living off the land and being out in nature and seeing God's invisible qualities become visible to us. Does that make sense what I'm saying? It's interesting. We stopped at a place there on the way home, and I bought this knife, and it's a buckhorn antler handle with a buffalo bone blade made by a Navajo man. And I thought to myself, I like different knives and watching people knife, and I think it's artistic and creative. But I thought what they had to make those things and to make them so artistically, it was pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. And I think about some of the conversations my granddad would have about when he was a kid growing up and how different things they used to survive. What's going to happen when that generation completely dies out? We better hope and pray the electricity don't go off. Because in our, quote, technology, we've become so arrogant in how dumb we are to survive. Does that make sense? Because we have taken our eyes off the Creator and creation. Life is a wonderful thing. And how many of us take it for granted? And I am notorious for that. Are you? In what you have, the luxuries that you have, if you have an air-conditioned house to go home to and a car that can take you there, you are in the segment of society, the richest there are. But how often do we take for granted those things? I'm guilty. Maybe some of you are, I don't know. The state of our world should make us cry because we are rebellious, uneducated people. We're rebellious, uneducated people. And I don't mean degrees. Now, I've been fortunate to get to go to school and get a few degrees. But I don't mean that. I mean just educating ourselves about life, about what we believe. Heck, fire, to get people to read anymore is a task because reading is becoming an antique. Because we have gotten so lazy to the tube, right? Putting pen to paper is becoming something of the past. To a degree. Because we don't take the time. Now, my dad never went to college a day in his life, but one of the most educated people I know, because every time as a kid I would stumble across something, he knew 10 more facts about it than the one I discovered. I said, how'd you learn all that? He goes, well, I read. Taking the time to invest ourselves beyond what is familiar to us. You know what we do every Sunday here at our church? We have a history lesson. That's what we do. We look into an ancient book and we see what they did 2,000 years ago or longer, and we try to apply it to the modern day. Every week is a history lesson. That's why history is so important, to understand it. But as they say, if we don't know history, it will repeat itself. We think about the genocide of abortion in our day. Do you know what? They killed babies long ago. Homosexuality is not a new thing. The Roman Empire was filled with it. There is nothing new that we're facing, but we sure do in our dramatics act like it's a new thing, because we don't know from where humanity came. And if we don't know where humanity came, we have no clue where humanity will go. But it's a pretty scary thing, amen? Because we get so self-centered and not God-centered. A few more and I'll close. Biblical application is necessary. The church should be more than just learning, it should be applying. Now, having a foot living for 10 years in the treatment world and as a pastor, I've noticed two things. I noticed one major thing where the church fails. I see more of the work of the church oftentimes in treatment centers than I do in the church, because here we go, ah, I never thought of it that way. We debate doctrine and different things, but we don't actually apply what the scripture means. What does it mean to go be kind to somebody, to go be patient with somebody, to go forgive somebody? We must learn to apply the scripture. Don't simply be hearers of the word, James 1 says, but what? Be doers of the word. Are you doing the word of God in your life? Are you doing the word of God in your life? Number 12, forgiveness has to be real, not theoretical. We can come here and you can hear a talk on forgiveness and go, wow, that touched me. But are you and am I willing to actually forgive those who've done us wrong? Because I have worked with so many people who have been in prison to their trauma and to the things that they have experienced, and they've never let it go. And the only person unforgiveness hurts is the person unwilling to forgive. The only person unforgiveness hurts is the person unwilling to forgive. It keeps you in a limited position. It keeps you in a limited experience. And we are called to forgive, not to agree with. And I'm going to do a series on what is often called the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And one of those lines in the model prayer touches on forgiveness. Forgiveness is not agreeing with somebody. Forgiveness is granting grace for your freedom, because God has granted grace to you before. Now, that's just touching a little bit on forgiveness. But I see people who are unwilling to forgive, and they become bitter, bitter, bitter. And if there's any group of people in all the world who should be known for forgiveness, it should be the believer. Amen? I love that passage where Peter and Jesus are talking. And Peter asks this question, or Jesus rather asks this question to Peter. He says, there was a master who had two servants, and both owed him money. One owed him 500 denarii, we'll call him dollars, and the other 50 denarii, $50. And the master forgave both. Who will go away loving the master more? And Peter says, well, the one who had the greater debt, who was forgiven more. And he says, you've answered correctly. Those who have been forgiven much love much. And I can just say, looking at my own heart and my own life and some of the decisions I've made, the reason I want to love Jesus as much as I can is because I know what he's forgiven me of. Because you did not get a pastor with a lily white past. And that forgiveness should translate into love, amen? Last two things here that I wrote down. Love conquers everything. Love conquers everything. I truly believe that. Because the greatest love exhibited took Jesus to the cross for our sins. But we have lowered the definition of love to something that it's not. We've lowered love to feeling. We've lowered love to desire. But that's not love. Love is who God is. And anytime you try to separate God from love, it's no longer love you're dealing with. Amen? And I believe that love conquers everything. It can bring families together again. It can bring parents and children together again. It can bring any faction that has come to pass. It can bring unity again. But we truly must get out of the way and let love be love. Amen? And the last and final thing, stay close to Jesus in all things. The more I know about the Bible and the more I come to know about the Lord, the more I realize how little I know. And on these fifth Sundays, it is my attempt to answer your questions. There's a lot of questions I don't have the answer to. That's where trust and faith comes in, amen? So it's not me saying, hey, let me tell you all I know, because I know very little. That's a very small well to tap into. But the more I know, the more I realize how little I know. And that brings a great amount of humility. Not to say that, but to really understand that and live that. But stay close to Jesus in everything, because there's going to come a day when you're going to get the news, if it's not instantaneous, that you ain't going to be here very much longer. That you're not going to be here very much longer. And everybody can talk about what that process is like. I do know this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But all the steps, what all that looks like, I don't have the foggiest. And neither do you. But it's something that we can trust Jesus in our weakest, darkest hour. And that he will never leave us. Because remember, wherever we can go, he's already there. Psalms 139, I encourage you to read it. It says, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths of Sheol, you are there. If I go to the east horizon or the western limits, even there, you are. Isn't it good to know that we never have to wait on God? But oftentimes, in his love, in his loving patience and kindness, he has to wait on us. I'll close with a story. Do you remember when Jesus was walking along and he was being crowded in, and the woman who had an issue of blood for some 12 years, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And here, the parade that would often follow Jesus all around him, and she crawling on hands and knees just to reach through the crowd, through the legs, to touch his garment. And immediately, when he felt that he had been touched and power had left him, he stopped and he asked his disciples, who were immediately right there, who touched me? And Peter says, why are you asking us? How in the world could we ever find that out? I mean, look at all these people. He goes, no, I know that power left me. And the woman was discovered. Now, Jesus was not the type, even though a parade and the drama of humanity might accompany him on the outskirts, that's not what he was after. He was not after to make a name for himself, because he knew exactly who he was. But when a need was met, that's the person that he sought after. Not the people who were trying to praise him and make him king, but the most vulnerable, spilled out person, crawling on her hands and knees. He says, I know that power left me. Who was it? And he turned and he found her. Out of all the people, out of the big parade, he found her. And he says, woman, your faith has healed you. How many of us need to touch Jesus again? To crawl on our hands and knees, to realize what we suffer with, and say, Lord, heal me. Let you be my focus again. I've been caught up with the wave of the world, trying to be an achiever. I've been caught up in the crowd, and I just simply need to touch you and stay close to you and let the crowd do what the crowd's going to do. Maybe that's you today. But I do know that in all things we need to stay close to Jesus. Because I get pretty tempted to want to do what everybody else is doing, because that's the easy way. Do you? Do you? It's very easy. Sure would make life a whole heck of a lot simpler if everybody was just happy clappy. But we all have needs. We all have struggles. We all have sins. And we need help in those matters. And the only thing that I can tell us today as a church, beginning with myself, is that we all need to stay close to Jesus. And that there's no parade too big and no voice too small that he can't hear, discern, and want to come running to. Because that's the Jesus of the Bible, amen? I remember as a kid, we would work this man's cows, and he always had a wild group of cows. And there was this one bull. He was a yearling then. He later became a pretty good bucking bull. But he had a bad attitude. And I remember I was probably 7 or 8, 9 years old, somewhere in there. And my granddad was a big mountain of a feller. And we would get in there, and I said, I'm a little nervous getting in there, because he would run everybody up the fence. And of course, we were in there throwing calves and working. He said, well, if he gets close to you, just come to me. And I remember as a kid that I would look wherever my granddad was when we worked cows. If I got close to him, I knew I'd be okay. My granddad's going to be with the Lord. Jesus is that for me now. When all hell is breaking loose and life is in disarray, I just look and find where Jesus is, and I come running. But the difference is, where I would run to my granddad, I often see Jesus running to me, saying, I'm here, you're okay, we'll get through this. I hope this speaks to your heart this morning, as it has spoken the last couple of weeks, looking at these different things to my heart, but to know that Jesus is there, and we just need to stay close to him. Amen? All right, let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus, we do love you. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, it's unimaginable, and we can't put it into words. Thank you, Lord, for helping, Lord, those of us who have strayed so far in our life. And Lord, thank you for the grace that you bestow. And as I already sang earlier, Lord, we can find you anywhere, because you're everywhere, calling those who will listen to your side. I pray if there's one here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they, just in the quietness of their heart, Lord, would invite you in. I pray that they'd be touched from on high. And I pray, Lord, for your followers today that may have drifted. I pray, Lord, that your voice spoke to them today through these things. Lord, your word is magnificent. Help us to stay in it. Help us to learn it. Help us to live it. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, have a great week.